To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordian. We are reaching the end of Vatican Abdicator this week. We've got Chapter 23 and the Epilogue, as both Vatican Abdicator and the Vatican Assassin Trilogy come to a close. The war seems to be over, seems to be won. The Eldred retreated. Dolomei is dead. The costs have been high. Friends are dead too, and an entire base has been destroyed. But humankind came together. Even if it was a former hitman who united us all, a former holy hitman. Now the former Vatican assassin, the former Pope of the New Catholic Church, and current leader of the Solar Alliance, BC, is going on vacation. And why do we need an epilogue anyway? You're going to have to listen and find out, as it's coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of news before we get into that. I misspoke last week. Kind of mixed myself up talking about what was coming next on the podcast. So let me get it all straight here. Next week, I will be off. There will not be a podcast Thanksgiving Day weekend because of the holiday. The first week of December, which probably is going to be December 7th, that Saturday, we'll do part one of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. And then on the 14th or so, Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, part two. The week after that, the Saturday just before Christmas, the 21st or so, we should have the new audio adaptation of the comic book story Alibi Jones, The Legacy, which appeared in Always Punch Nazis, Volume 2 this year from Pilot Studios. So there's that coming up. Then the week after is in between Christmas and New Year's. That's the 28th. I will not be doing a show then, so going to be off for the holidays. And then the first show of 2020, the first weekend of January, we will start into Starseeds in draft form. So it'll be a presentation of a work in progress, really, as we go along. I'm looking forward to this. Turning you on to some new storytelling. So that's the plan with the podcast. That's what's coming up. As for the comic book, it will be coming out. I just got the rest of the pages from Juan Carlos Quatordio last night. He colored them. He cussed me out. You know, I didn't say he had to do these. He agreed to do the project. So I just was like, dude, I got to get this done. It's got to come out for Christmas. Come on. So, yeah, I did put a little pressure on him. And he you know, let me have it a little bit. But it's done. He got me the pages, so I got to letter those. There's like six more pages to letter here, and then I'll assemble the book and get it out. But it's coming. The pages are in, so once I finish this podcast, actually, I'll be putting that all together. Now, with all this stuff going on, I would love to have your support for the creative endeavors by having you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. If you go to Patreon, you can support this podcast monthly with a pledge of $2, $5, or $10 a month. That's what Patreon does. They let us creators hook up with people who want to support us. So this podcast is free. It always will be. You can listen, enjoy, and download and subscribe all for free. But if you do want to hear me making stuff and want to support that endeavor, I would love to have you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And kind of become a member. It's like, you know, public radio or something. Sort of. And as for the book itself, Starseeds, Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth, it's not quite done, but I do believe it's getting there. I don't want to say anything more. I feel like I've been jinxing myself, so that's that. But we have a final chapter to get into and an epilogue to hear. So let me get out of the way. We'll hear from one of my friends of mine here. And then we will get into Chapter 23 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Powered Time Machine podcast?
Yeah.
But he won't listen. He hates everything.
Hi, I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kinda accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Now, here's Chapter 23 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC decides to vacation at each colony to spend a little time at all of humanity's homes over the course of the month, so the Prime Representative doesn't seem to be playing favorites. Anita puts the itinerary together for him, a skill she still has a knack for, but she won't be able to join him on his excursion. As she points out, she has political processes and elections to oversee on Ceres Central. BC finds himself on a shuttle to Earth, alone, as he begins his vacation. He's traveling with light security, two plainclothes SAIF officers. His first destination? Boston. BC is visiting the parish where he was first a priest in the new Catholic Church. He's trying to avoid crowds, but somehow word of his itinerary has leaked out. There are people milling about outside the church when BC arrives. He waves to them as he gets out of his transport, but then he makes a beeline for the church's front doors. St. Gabriel's Church was built sometime back in the 1900s. It's a grand old white wooden building with two square towers. The building's two longer sides are lined with rows of stained glass windows depicting the Passion of Christ. As BC climbs the white marble steps, he thinks back 10 years to when the NCC began, and he was transferred here. I knew I was in over my head at that point. I'd never set foot inside a real church before this place. BC opens the heavy wooden main doors at the front of the church and disappears into the darkness inside. He has his security detail wait outside as he tours the old white clapboard church. He wants to take it all in by himself, alone. They only agreed to wait when the local priest told them he could lock the doors behind BC so he couldn't be disturbed. As BC enters the church foyer, he hears a slam and some clicking. The doors are closed and locked behind him. BC's eyes adjust as he walks through the foyer, through another set of heavy wooden double doors, and into the main hall of the church. He walks up the aisle towards the altar. BC is looking up at Jesus on the cross, at the crucifix suspended over the altar, when he hears the church's doors open behind him.
Huh. Thought they were going to keep those locked. I told them I didn't want to be disturbed.
BC turns to see a woman and a small child standing in the dim light of the foyer in front of the church doors. The two begin to walk forward. They pass through the stained glass-colored sunlight streaming in through the windows of the church as they walk up the aisle towards BC.
There's something familiar about her.
I thought I'd find you here, she says to BC as she approaches. She clutches her coat closed in front of her with one hand while the small boy holds on to the other.
Me? He asks.
Hello, BC,
the woman says, drawing closer. She stands beside him, with the small 2 or 3-year-old boy at her side.
The priest was kind enough to let us in when I told him we were family, she says.
BC stares into her big brown eyes, trying to remember who she is.
You don't even remember who I am, do you? She says, seeing right through BC.
I'm afraid I don't. You look familiar.
We were once close, she says.
She looks down at the boy.
Quite close.
Uh-oh.
She shakes her head.
This won't do at all, She says to herself more than BC.
I was your alibi, she says to BC.
She looks at the boy.
His name is Alibi, she says,
with an air of some sort of satisfaction. The boy has his mother's big brown eyes. He looks up at BC, but stays quiet.
Alibi? Oh my God! Kim's daughter!
Ruth!
Kim said she was dead.
You remember, she exclaims, and a weird smile creeps across her face. I thought you were dead. Your father told me you had died. BC remembers that Kim himself is dead now. I'm sorry about your father, he tells her. She frowns, and then looks down at the ground at her feet.
You should be sorry, she says.
She looks back up at BC.
You have lots and lots to be sorry for, BC, she tells him,
practically spitting out the word sorry.
You ruined my father, my family, my faith, my home, my world, my life, you bastard!
She stares eye to eye at him as she finishes. The boy at her side begins fidgeting, whimpering softly. BC sees frenetic energy dancing in her eyes as she lectures him. There is a weird edge to her voice, a strange chaotic craziness.
I don't think she's all there anymore. She seems off.
What can I say, Ruth? BC tries to sound calm and reassuring.
She's lost it. She's not right. How do I call security without freaking her out?
Nothing, she answers him. She looks down again. One of her hands still holds the hand of the boy. The other is inside of her coat.
I thought she was holding it closed.
What about the boy? BC has to ask. She looks up at BC, and then down at the boy. She bends down to talk to the boy face to face.
Al, this man is your daddy. Alibi, meet your father. This is Bernard Campion, she says,
and she and the boy both look up at BC. She straightens up.
Is she sick? Holding her stomach?
Are you okay? BC asks her. She ignores his question and begins to lecture him again.
You've done a lot of bad things, BC, Ruth tells him. And I'm not talking now about what you did to me and my family and Fortune Station. I'm talking...
She looks down and then back up at him.
About the things my father told me about you. He told me all about you, BC. All the killing, the horrible things you'd done.
She shakes her head.
And now I see you all over the news. They're all saying such great things, such nice things about you, but none of it is true. Leader of the free world, and I've seen you with that woman.
She trails off and looks back down at the floor. She glances at the boy and then looks back at BC.
Rumors say you two are getting married. Is that right? Is that right?
She asks in an accusatory tone.
Well, I don't know about that. We haven't even talked about it, BC says defensively.
You're a bad man, BC,
she says angrily. She glares at him as she raises her voice.
You don't. Good things should not happen to you. You don't deserve any of it.
Her eyes burn into his.
I've tried to make up for the bad, BC tells her. I've tried to do good things. I've saved the human race. That's got to count for something, he insists.
You were lucky, she reasons. Lucky to be in the right place at the right time. You were lucky, not repentant. Have you repented? Really? I don't think so. You haven't atoned for your sins, Ruth says,
a quavering edge to her voice, a hint of panicky excitement.
Are you judging me then? BC asks her defensively. Maybe I've made up for what I've done. I did it all in the name of God anyway.
You don't believe that, do you?
Ruth challenges him.
You never did you? Neither do I. You did it because it was fun. You didn't really believe in what you were doing.
How true is that? It is sort of true on some level, to some degree, isn't it? Where is my security?
I was an instrument of God, BC tells her, but his words ring hollow in his own ears.
You were judge, jury, and executioner, Ruth tells him.
She fixes her eyes on BC's.
And so am I.
She breaks her gaze. Ruth looks down at the boy.
This is your son, she says,
lifting her hand holding the boy's. Her other hand comes out of her jacket holding a .38 pistol.
And this is a gun.
She pulls the trigger.
Bang!
There is a stunned silence. Ruth has just shot BC in the stomach.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
BC is on his back, on the floor of the church, and his stomach is on fire.
She shot me!
The boy is crying loudly, his shrieking and sobbing filling the air like a human alarm siren. BC hears the gun hit the ground beside him, hears shouting in the distance, but everything is echoing.
She shot me in the gut. That's not good.
He blinks. He sees Ruth standing next to the crying boy. She stares off blankly into space, arms hanging limply at her sides. The world begins to move in slow motion. BC watches his security officers rush up behind Ruth. One grabs her in a secure hold, pinning her arms and rushing her off. The other one leans over BC, kneels beside him.
Prime representative.
He's yelling, but to BC it sounds distorted and slowed down. BC tries to listen to him. Is that me? BC wonders out loud. He feels like sleeping. His stomach really hurts. On fire.
Why can't I move?
Stay with me, Prime Representative,
the man yells. But BC sees the walls fall away and finds himself in a gray place, floating on a still, calm, silent sea. He's floating away, floating up, away from his body, floating across the still, calm sea, floating away. The voice of love speaks.
You just never know, do you?
I can hear you again. Jesus? Or, since that name's been abused, is it Ted?
Ha! You remember. Still have your sense of humor, do you? That's good. Names are not important.
I knew you weren't Dolome. He's dead.
Yes, he is. And he is not me. But now you are.
Wait, I am? I'm you? You mean this is it?
This is it? Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
That was Chapter 23, A Vatican Abdicator, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Here's the epilogue.
From the first address to the Solar Alliance Congress by Prime Representative Anita Capituna, this was her first public appearance after her election in November of 2112.
I cannot finish today without mentioning the man who isn't here with us today, a man I grew to love, despite his many faults, Bernard Campion, leader, pope, assassin, scoundrel, and a man with a very big heart. None of us would even be here today without him, even though he would never have chosen to lead us. There's a Shakespeare quote from Twelfth Night about those who have greatness thrust upon them. Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Actually, in the context of the play itself, it's not a very flattering quote, really, when you analyze its origins. But BC wouldn't want us flattering him anyway. He would have admitted himself that any greatness of his was certainly thrust upon him. I have to tell you all, I didn't want to be the one up here today. I never thought I'd have to be. I was sure that when we reached this point that it would be him up here in front of you, addressing you on a day like this. He earned the right to be up here. He tried to make up for his past. Thanks to the media's digging in the last few weeks since his death, we're all well aware of Bernard Campion's digressions. We all know what his faults were. But he rallied us, all humanity, to face the Eldred, even after they had tried to wipe us out with their disease, even as they assaulted us head-on. He made sure we stood up to them, and he made sure we won. Humanity survived, and now we reach for the stars united by our humanity. Bernard Campion had a lot to do with getting us here with his vision for the Solar Alliance. I am proud to be a part of carrying out that vision, or carrying on where he left off. A vision that is helping to carry us into the stars. We are joining the greater interstellar community of races that travel among the stars, not as a reborn version of the ancient enemy, but as a friend, an ally, a trading partner, a force for good among the alien races who now seek to find their way among the stars without the guidance of the Eldred. Truly, we should mourn the demise of the Eldred. But how much? Theirs was a race whose time had come and gone. They held the interstellar community in a kind of stasis for a million years, much as they held on to Dolomé. Perhaps it was their time to move on. But I don't want to dwell on the past. We have too much to do, too much of the future to build to keep looking back. I wish BC was here to help us build that future, because it is thanks to him that we even have a future to build. I have heard the voices of those who would write him off, who would say his past just caught up with him, that he died as he lived. I can only hope, for their own sakes, that their pasts never catch up with them. For my part, I will treasure the good that BC did as I try to do my part to help lead us into the future he envisioned. I thank you all for your faith in me to carry us forward.
The end.
And that was the epilogue of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. And so many people get mad at me. yes, that is how it ends, is BC gets shot by his alibi, Ruth. And of course, we know what happens with the kid. Alibi grows up to be Alibi Jones. But that is the end of BC's story. Kind of, because he does show up in Alibi Jones, A Christmas Present, which we will be getting into on our next episode. After a week off, that's going to be 2 weeks away. Taking a week off for the Thanksgiving weekend for travel and all the rest. That is the plan, too, is bringing you Alibi Jones, Christmas Present, in two parts. Because it's kind of lengthy. That'll be over the first two weekends in December, the 7th and 14th, I think they are, the Saturdays. And then the 21st, it'll be a new audio adaptation of Alibi Jones, The Legacy, the story that appeared in Always Punch Nazis Volume 2 earlier this year, this summer. Big Kickstarter you were a part of. Then I'll take the week off for the Christmas and New Year's holiday, about the 28th or so, and come back the first weekend in January 2020 with Alibi Jones and the Star Seeds of Earth. I'll be presenting it as a work in progress. We'll start out just about first draft, and it'll become more polished as we go. So that's the plan on the podcast. As soon as I wrap up here, just a minute or so, I'm going to be getting into lettering the final pages of the comic book and getting that wrapped up, getting it out, and getting it in your hands. My Christmas present to you. Got to finish up the novel, too. Starseeds is almost done. So, a lot of work in progress, actually. And I can use your support. If you can, please support this podcast and all my creative work by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And becoming a member for $2 a month, or $5 a month, or $10 a month. I don't have anybody doing the $10, but I do have quite a few folks doing the $5, and that is very cool, so thank you for doing that, because those of you who are, help keep this going. It's important. Thank you. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.